Elijah. Elijah, one of the most celebrated prophets to ever live. He was revered. He was feared. He was an absolutely man among men, but he had a deep devotion to God and an unusual calling upon his life and an unusual gift. He had one little nervous breakdown when the wicked Jezebel was angry with him. Most men have a nervous breakdown when a mean woman's mad at them. But other than that, Elijah is just, he is just filled with just faith and courage, and he did many miracles. He actually did 16 miracles. He raised someone from the dead. He called fire down out of heaven. He did many, many things that make him the remarkable prophet that he was. Even in the New Testament, you know, Elijah shows up with Jesus on the Mountain of Transfiguration alongside Moses. Many believe that it will be Elijah in the last days that will represent one of the prophets that will preach the gospel of the kingdom to Israel. And so Elijah, great man of God, he had an understudy. His understudy was Elisha, a younger man. And he so admired Elijah that everywhere he went, he wanted to be close to him. He wanted to be like him. He wanted to be able to do the things he did. He wanted to be able to accomplish those things that Elijah did. He wanted to be the kind of man that Elijah was. And so as they're ministering together, working together, as I said, he's an understudy of Elijah. Elijah lets him know it won't be long and he'll be leaving. He's going to heaven in the most unusual way. He's going to go to heaven, not through natural death process, but God is going to come and get him and catch him up and take him away. This only happens two times in scripture that we know of. You remember Enoch in the book of Genesis was translated that he did not see death. And then Elijah is caught up, we're told, in a chariot of fire. So he says to his understudy, Elisha, he says, before I go, and it's getting very, very close, what would you like for me to do for you? Elisha looked at him and he said, I want a double portion of what you have. You've asked a hard thing. But he says, I tell you what, if you see me when I go up, it'll be given to you. So one day he says, I've got to go here or there, and said, you can stay here. Elijah said, no. I'm not leaving your side. So the young man is fixed on the old man, and he is desiring to be all that he can be, and he's been mentored and influenced by this great man of God. And so when we pick up the story there in verse number 9. Here we go. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. You know, I wonder, when you look at that, it makes you think, well, you know, hey, I want to be twice the man you are. I see it a little bit different. I think Elisha is saying, to be what you are, I need a double portion of it. I think there's humility in his request. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou shalt see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. It came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. I get chills reading that still. And I learned it when I was a little boy in Sunday school. But my, can you imagine that sight? snatched away from Elisha. And here comes the angel army with chariots and horses and flying off into heaven. Amazing. The verse continues. It says, and Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he said unto him, the more. And he took hold of his own clothes and he rent them into two pieces. This is Elisha. He took up also the mantle that Elijah fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground. And we're going to stop there for now. You know, we live in a world where the church particularly likes to get little retro in our thinking about how things were in at such great times, and wish we could have those experiences now, and we can't have them. For example, back in the days when Bible giants roamed the land, you know, when the Daniels walked the earth, and the Moses and the Abrahams and the Elijahs and the Elishas. The Samuels, the King David, what a world it was. These men had extraordinary gifts at an extraordinary time and did extraordinary things. And so sometimes we like to look back and say, boy, I wish we could experience that now. And so when you look at this verse where Elisha takes that coat that he picks up from Elijah, and he smites the ground with it, and he calls out. He wants to make certain that the God of Elijah is still working today. So he says, I need it verified. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he smites the ground, and the Jordan parts, and the land is dry, and he walks over on dry land. Now, what I want to try to get across tonight is his question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Let me tell you where he is. He is right here. If you're a believer, he lives in your heart. Now, what that means is that the spirit and power of Elijah not only rest on Elisha, but it rests on you. It lives in you. Now, you may say, well, Frank, that sounds exciting, but I can't do the things that Elijah did. No, because you don't have the gifts that Elijah had. But the Spirit of God that anointed Elijah can anoint you to maximize your life to the fullest and allow you to have power to make the most of the gift God has given you. We shouldn't be walking around saying, where is the Lord God of Elijah? We ought to know where he is. As a matter of fact, when I came in the building and we were singing that great old hymn, I'd rather have Jesus. I mean, yeah, he's here. You know, I mean, he's all around us. And he lives in us. So what I want to show you tonight is that it gets verified that God didn't leave with Elijah. He takes Elijah there, but the spirit and power is still here, and it rests upon Elisha. Now, Elijah did 16 miracles. Did you know that Elisha did 32? He did the exact double. He asked for a double portion, and he performs 32 miracles, and he even has occasions to raise the dead. When a dead person touches his bones, they come to life. This is an extraordinary gift in an extraordinary time. But God answered that request. Now, verified, the spirit of Elijah is here because it is the spirit of God. Now, how did Elijah utilize his power. That's the thing that most of us need to realize. How did Elijah do the things that he did? Well, he did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, the book of James says something. It said Elijah was a man that is subject with like passions, just like we are. In other words, he was very human. He had his frailties. He wasn't perfect. He had like passions. He faced similar battles, similar struggles. But the Bible says, but Elijah prayed. And I think that's the difference with most of us. You see, it has been verified. The day you got born again, the Holy Spirit gave you peace and you knew that you were saved, and he verified his presence in your heart in one way or another. But I don't think we utilize what we have, because I think we live perhaps in the most prayerless time that's ever been. Elijah was a man subject to like passions, James said, yet he prayed. Yet he prayed. That's how he utilized the gift that God gave him. What did he pray for? Well, in that particular case, he prayed earnestly that it might not rain upon the earth, and it didn't. He'd pray again later and ask God to send the rain, and it did rain. And here's a man, just a man, like passions, like you and I, but the Spirit of God rests upon him, but he prayed. He prayed. When did you do it last? When did you do it last? When did you really open your heart up to God? I don't mean gave him your wish list. I'm not talking about while you were in traffic and said, Jesus, help me get there on time. I'm talking about when did you find a solitary place, get on your face before God, and tell it to Jesus? I mean all of it. Nothing can restore the soul like that. And so here's it verified. He verifies it when he takes the coat and smites the ground. And the sons of the prophets look over there and they see what happened. And so it's verified to them. And now he's going to utilize it. Elisha is going to begin to go and utilize what God gave him. You see, friend, if you could understand that whatever your gift is, if you'll utilize that gift for God, minister and serve others, and pray, you're going to know where this Lord God of Elijah is. He's right here. I can't tell you how many times I told a friend of mine that was getting ready to speak at a conference. And they were concerned. They had never spoken. It was going to be a pretty impressive thing. And they were kind of emailing me back and forth about, you know, what do we, you know, what would you suggest? And I made just a couple of comments. And then I told my friend, I said, I'm going to tell you a secret. I said, the battle is won or lost before you get up there. It's in the prayer room. It's behind the scene. You know, that's what utilizes the gift. That's what puts power to whatever it is you're doing. You may very well have the gift of teaching, but you may be dry as a dust bowl while you're doing it. Did you pray? You know? And so what you're going to see here is that it's verified, but now watch Elisha go and utilize this gift that God gives him. Watch this. Let's pick up the reading in verse 15. People are going to see it. You know, the world will see the difference in you. You know, you can tell when the Spirit of God is on somebody. You can tell when someone's anointed to do what they do. I've heard people sing, and I knew they shouldn't be singing. They had no anointing to sing. Now, I'm not going to do like Marty did when I was preaching a revival for him in Wilmington. And we went home after a service, and bless the heart, two really sweet people. Their names, I'll go ahead and tell you, were David and Melissa, and they sang, and honestly, the dogs would howl in the parking lot. It was the worst thing. And they sang solos in this revival almost every night. Well, I did something that I knew better than to do. And this was Marty when he's younger. That's where he got his nickname, Marty the Baptist. We were, after service, we went home, we had something to eat, and I said, you know, brother, a couple, it seems. That's horrible. I said, why is it that they sing every night? And he said, my blessed God, said, they won't be singing again, I can tell you that. Well, I didn't blame him for feeling that way, but the next night we come back to the service. It was packed, man, and then it just like broke out, and I think there was a number of people saved. 10 or 12 people got saved. Spirit of the Lord was really moving. And Marty decided that he would disclose to the church that things would be going different now. He says to them, all right, first of all, we're going to do things different around here. We're going to start having church. He said, David and Melissa, you can't sing. And I'm sitting over there, you know, kind of where, at the angle, Teresa, where you're sitting. And I face it, and it gets in red right here. And I'm saying, oh, Lord. And it just deathly quiet. I mean, we were just celebrating numerous souls that had gotten saved. And David and Melissa, you can't sing. I drop my head a little bit, and it gets real quiet. And he says, Frank feels the same way. Tell him, Frank. He said last night you couldn't sing. I wanted to kill him. But when someone can sing, and then God gets on their singing, oh my. You think, I mean, there are times when someone that is anointed by the Spirit of God to exhort the church through song, I mean, it gets so cloudy we need a CNI dog to get out of here. I mean, you know it. There's one young lady, and she was a former sister-in-law. In the first church I pastored, she said, oh, Frank, I want to sing at your church. I want to sing at your church. I said, you know, I thought, you know, can you sing, you know? And, you know, she could sing okay. And by the way, if you can sing okay, get in the choir. That doesn't mean that you're a soloist because you can sing okay. Amen. I'm not saying this mean or ugly, Mike. I'm smiling. I'm a nice guy. I really am. And she could sing okay. But this is what the girl did. She stood with her back to the audience because she is too terrified to look at the audience. But yet God wanted her to sing. If you're too terrified to do it, God perhaps doesn't want you to do it. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? He's still here, and that power is utilized when people are doing what it is that God wants them to do. And you can tell it just like that. Caitlin, heard a lot of positives about Cole, and I'm really proud of him. And I knew the first 5 minutes I heard him speak. The first 5 minutes I heard him speak, he's got the gift to teach her. I don't know if he's going to teach or preach, but he's got the gift. No question in my mind about that. I knew it. You can recognize it, okay? So where is the Lord God of Elijah on your life? Well, are you doing what it is that God has told you to do? You say, well, I know for a long time I'm supposed to do so-and-so, and I hadn't done it yet. Well, if you'll do what God says, you can you can be empowered with that kind of power. Perhaps you have no power because you don't do what it is that God's told you to do. That's the thing. Elijah says, okay, if the mantle's falling on me, I'm going to go and do what Elijah did. Boom. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? There he is. Because God had allowed the same gift to be given to him. Elisha didn't know what to do, except he was just going to imitate Elijah until he could figure it out himself. And so the gift is utilized when you do what God says do. What does God want you to do? What has God been speaking to you about doing? What trial are you facing? Regardless of the trial you're facing, God's got power for that trial. He's got grace for that trial. He's got strength for that trial. He's got patience for that trial. He's got hope. He's got healing. Met with a family not long ago, and their hearts were torn, brokenhearted, grieving. But as we talked together and prayed together, you could see the burden begin to lift just a little bit. And I thought to myself, you know, if they'll just trust God, then God's will empower them to have joy despite the circumstance of their life. I know that's a fact. Now, let me tell you, there's two things. Your gift will manifest God's power in your life when you use your gift right. If you're doing something and it's not what you're supposed to be doing and there's no real anointing on it, perhaps you're doing the wrong thing. Now, the second thing is God gives the fruits of the Spirit. You see, the fruits of the Holy Spirit are love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and meekness and long-suffering and all of these wonderful attitudes that the Holy Spirit makes manifest in our life, not just when times are good, but even when times are bad. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, and so on. And so, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Well, he's right here. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? He lives in my heart. He lives in your heart. Well, if I'm doing what God says do, then the gift should be in operation, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit should be on display. You people stay mad all the time? Something's broken. Something's wrong. God doesn't want you angry all the time. God doesn't want you critical, mean. You know, some of the meanest things have been said about people that I love and care about, and it just breaks my heart. And people celebrate these cruel things. And think it's funny. I don't rejoice in iniquity. I find no pleasure when someone's heart has been broken or their life has gone through some sort of a trauma. There's no pleasure in that. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are manifest in your life when God's power is on you. And I'm going to tell you something. If you, whatever you're going through, God can give you peace, he can give you strength, he can give you joy, he can give you goodness in the face of badness. He can display all of those attitudes in your life when you are walking his way. How did Elijah do it? He prayed. Elijah was a man subject to like passions we are, yet he prayed. And so he had time with God. He did miracles. I can't do miracles. And I know a lot of people claim they can. I don't believe them. I'll just tell you flat out. I don't believe these people that claim that they can do miracles. And the reason I don't believe them is because I believe that the miracles were sign gifts. And they're clearly were a sign, according to 1 Corinthians 14, they were a sign to the unbelieving Jew. They ran their course. We're told that they would eventually stop. I don't believe in the what's called the gift of tongues that's being done in the world today. I don't believe that is the biblical gift. And the reason I don't believe that is because the Bible said where there be tongues, they're going to cease. And that word cease is so strong, it means they're going to cease and desist. They're not going to start back up again. And all you got to do is go back in church history and look at it. And when they finally did stop, shortly after the death of the last apostle, it wasn't until the late 1900s that they started back up out in California through a woman that claimed she had it. And that's not biblical. And there's a lot of reasons I don't believe that. So, but I do believe in gifts, and I tell you what gifts are, that you have temporary gifts and you have stationary gifts. Stationary gifts are gifts of helps, gifts of exhortation, gifts of giving, gifts of serving, gifts of exhortation, gifts to preach, gifts to teach. Those are stationary. They're with the church. They'll be here until the end of the church age. The Bible said the church is built on the foundation of what? The apostles and the prophets. And then after the foundation, you pull the walls up. And what we have now is evangelists and pastors and teachers. Those are we don't have prophets, not like Samuel, not like Elijah. Why? Because we have the revealed word of God. I don't believe in extra biblical revelation. What does that mean? That just means revelation. They say, hey, you know, like, you know, this isn't in the Bible, but God told me this, and whole movements are started, and people flock into it and join it, and it grows, and it blows my mind. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Well, since we don't see a lot happening, people try to manufacture or imitate things that look like that. I say this, the Lord God of Elijah lives in my heart. He lives in your heart. If you're a believer and gifts of the Spirit are given to us, do what God called you to do. People will recognize that's a gift. Live like God wants you to live, and the fruits of the Spirit will be manifest in your life, and people will know, hey, the Lord God of Elijah lives in that person's heart. Now, let me finish with this. He starts doing miracles because he has the gift of miracles. And I just got to show you this, and then I'm going to let you go and talk about this sermon among yourselves. And they said unto him, behold, now there be thy servants 50 strong. Oh, this was so funny here. Now, it's got to be verified to these students, these seminary students. They had always, you know, they always got their messages from Elijah. You know, and now Elisha's wanting to tell them that this is a word from God, and they don't like that because you're not Elijah. I get my messages from Elijah. So they needed to be taught that this man too has the Lord God of Elijah on their life. I used to know a preacher would say you can buy those matches that only strike on their own box. And you can get some people that only like certain preachers. That's not good. You love the Word of God, okay? So now, here are these seminary students. They're 50 strong. Let them go, pray thee, and seek the Master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord has taken him up. We want to go find our Master. We want to find the body, give him a decent burial. They're way off track. He's gone. He's not here. He may be upon some mountain or in some valley, and he said, and Elisha says, no. There's no point in doing that. You shall not sin. And when they urged him, that word urged actually is pushed, and they pestered him. They wore him down until he was ashamed. In other words, they just beat him down. You know, every time somebody talks me into doing something just by wearing me down, I always have consequences for it. I tell one of my kids, I said, you know, every time I tell you, no, 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 we don't want to do that, shouldn't do that, and they just wear me down. I say, just to shut them up, I say, okay, just go do it. And it's terrible every time. And so they did this to Elisha, and he says, okay, sin, go look for him then. So 50 men go, and they sought for 3 days. They looked, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, talking about Elisha, he said unto them, I like this. He's one of those people that did say, I told you so. Did I not say unto you, go not? Now that verified in their heart, hey, this man has a gift of discernment. Okay? But now the people need to know that Elisha has this same power upon his life. So the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but we've got this problem. The water's bad, and the ground barren. And Elisha says, okay, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me as he was on Elijah, and I have the gift of miracles. He says, okay, bring me a new cruse and salt. That's really a bowl. Bring me a bowl and give me some salt. And they brought it to him. He went forth in the spring of the waters, and he cast the salt in there. And thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters, that they shall not be from hence any more death or barren land. That word barren spoke. It was a word where not just the land, nothing would grow in the land, but you notice there's death and there's barren land. The land's dying out, but the people are dying. And most believe that particularly the women that were carrying children were miscarrying due to this water. It was a terrible thing that was going on here. They needed a miracle. So here's a man that claims he has the spirit of Elijah upon him, and he has the gift. And so he goes, he gets some salt, gets a bowl, just pours it in the spring. And God says, all right, go tell the people the waters are healed and everybody's going to be fine. So the waters were healed into this city according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. So now it's being verified to the people around, to the community. It was verified to Elisha personally. And then the circle of friends of the believers around him, the school of the prophets is called, they got the verification that God is working with this person. And now the community says, hey, God is not gone just because Elijah's gone. But now the world is going to get an awakening. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, they came forth little children out of the city and mocked him. This is Elisha. They said, go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. Now, from this text, I just don't pick on bald-headed men. Watch this. Elisha, he turns back, looked at them. How would you have liked to have seen that? His eyes must have looked lethal at that point. He looks at him. He cursed them in the name of the Lord. Now, that's not the way cursing's done today. He put a curse on them. And according to the book of Leviticus, that when you did mock a man of God, what could happen is animals and beasts could jump upon you and devour you. And so here's what happened. Again, it's being verified to the world. There came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tear 42 of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. So two she-bears come out and attack 42 children for mocking. He's telling the world that God's still here and he's working through this person. Now, what is my point? You said, Frank, I tell you, I just wish I had strength to get through this day. I wish I had some joy. I wish I had this. I've got so many problems. I got this. I've got that. Everybody agreed with me earlier when I said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And I said, well, he's right here. I said, amen. He lives in our heart. Amen. Well, shouldn't we have some victory too? We don't have the gift of miracles. True. But we have a gift. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Jesus Christ came into the world, suffered for my sins and for your sins. He goes back after the death, goes back to the Father, sends forth the Holy Ghost. You know what a ghost is? That's the returned spirit of the departed dead. The Holy Ghost comes back and lives with us, empowers us. You just got to utilize that gift and allow him to display those fruits, because he can bring forth fruit even in terrible times. He can bring forth love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance in the worst of times, if you allow him to. No matter what you're facing today, you are not alone. You have the benefit, the power. The Lord God of Elijah is here, and he lives in here. If you're born again, you have the victory. So go ahead and enjoy it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and for the hope that we always find in it, the healing and the help that's available. Too many of us just somehow don't get it in our bloodstream. We can't seem to trust it like we should. We get direction from you, and God says, do this, but we're afraid. If we can't put this in the hands of God because we've got to keep our hands on it. And Lord, it's so silly because nothing's really safe until it's in your hands. Everything outside of your watch care and outside of your hands, Lord, is in a dangerous place. But everything we trust you with is safe and secure. Give us the faith to trust you more. And then the community will see where the Lord God of Elijah is and where he's working and what he's doing. Our faith will grow because it will be verified in our own hearts. Other believers will be strengthened by it, encouraged by it, and follow the example. And the world, in time, they'll learn better. But for now, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. In Christ's name I pray, amen.